Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's August 17th, 2025. So you know what that means. A brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast streaming live on the Kicking Out Podcast YouTube channel and Facebook page. Hit a suplex on that follow button, like button, subscribe button, notification bell, all that good stuff. I'm Tanner Lee. Joining me is the reigning, defending KOP Predictions champion for at least another week, Austin Shepherd. Shep, how we doing, buddy?
Another week. I mean, come on. It's my favorite pay-per-view coming up.
That's true.
Although I feel like in the past, and especially coming into this year, I don't know how forbidden it is. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, and we'll get to that. That's a big part of tonight's show, is talking about the card we know so far, what we think the build's been like, what we can kind of expect going forward. But yeah, definitely not as forbidden as years past, but we can get into that. But we got a lot of news from AEW. It seems like every week when we do the news section, it's starting to fill up more and more.
I think it's trying to keep up with the Joneses, if you know what I mean. You know, yeah. Ever since WrestleMania, and let's go back to WrestleMania, which we all felt like it was a dud of a main event.
Sure.
I mean, rephrase, dud of a finish.
Yeah, night two. We should be specific too.
Yeah, night two. I feel like WWE especially has been trying to make sure we forget about that with newsworthy events, streaming deals.
Counter-programming.
Yeah, counter-programming outside of the normal company that we're used to watching, whether it be CMLL, or I'm sorry, AAA. I get those two confused. AAA is with WWE, CMLL is with AEW. But whether it's AAA or even TNA now, basically merging TNA and NXT together, every company's trying just to top the other one, which – as us as fans, we benefit from that. Okay? It's been a great 3 months, obviously. And it keeps on going. And we saw a lot of that in this past week and a half with the streaming deal, with what we saw last night at Triple Mania, with what we saw this morning at the G1. I mean, right now, the two American companies that are duking it out are on fire. And when you have a WWE payrollee and Bully Ray coming on Wednesday night after dark, Dynamite after dark on Pro Wrestling Nation and saying, hey, that was a pretty damn good show. I really enjoyed that show. Oh, wait, that's 2 weeks in a row. I've really enjoyed this show. Come on. We love it. We love it.
Yeah, they're doing something right. Doing something right.
So we're benefiting.
Catch up with some comments real quick. Majin, if Jabroni Paul is somewhere here this week, I want his input on my question from last week's too. No Jabroni Paul tonight. So he had to work. So he says.
No Jabroni Paul.
That's always so.
That's his shoot job.
Shoot job. Majin, we're gearing up for a pay-per-view. The Fed has to take their shots. They always do it every week leading up to a pay-per-view. That's true. It's true. Steffi's in the house. What's going on, Steffi? Chief's in the house. What's going on, Chief? Chief says too much counter programming. WWE really wants to burn me out. I've seen that a lot over the IWC. They're just saying, you know, too many events. Because like WWE, I mean, I know it's not, this isn't the case, but it almost feels like they're putting on a PLE every 2 weeks anymore.
But now, do you consider last night a PLE, even though it was free on the YouTube?
I don't know what I consider AAA yet under the WWE umbrella, to be honest.
Now, that was AAA's biggest event, being Triple Mania.
But I guess, no, I wouldn't call it a PLE. I think a PLE has to be under an umbrella that you subscribe to monthly, like Peacock or in the future ESPN, you know? Which it's real fascinating, really fascinating with all the streaming stuff. You know, TNA's in the news right now looking for a new TV deal. There's a lot of rumors that WWE's going to have their hand in their new TV deal and that they could land on a station that already has WWE programming, with one rumor being they could land on the CW on Wednesday nights opposed to AEW and go head to head.
Your boy Sean turned that down.
Yeah, did he? Okay. I know Alvarez threw that out there. I don't know if that would – I would almost think that would hurt TNA.
He turned it down saying they would they would move to Wednesday night. Gotcha. Whatever network they're going to, they still plan to run Thursday night.
Thursdays? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I figured WWE's strategy anymore with all this counter-programming AEW, you know, next Sunday at Forbidden Door is going on, they're going to have NXT Shockwave or Heatwave. Shockwave, Heatwave. I don't freaking know. One of those two. I don't know. Heatwave, I think it is, actually. And then now in September, on September 20th, when AEW is doing All Out, they're going to do a PLE, hasn't been named yet, at least to the public, in Indianapolis, right in our home state. And that'll be the first WWE PLE to go head-to-head the same time with an AEW pay-per-view. So I think personally their strategy is trying to do, not necessarily trying to run AEW out of business, because I don't think AEW is going anywhere. And let's be honest, as long as Tony wants to back AEW, which is this passion project, which, you know, he always will, it's not going anywhere. He has too much money. But I think they're trying to knock AEW out of the number two spot. I don't think they're worried about AEW catching them, because let's be honest, they're not going to catch WWE. But I think if they can chip away enough at AEW's audience with counter programming and then help boost for TNA, that maybe TNA could unseat AEW at number two. But I think TNA is a long way to go to unseat AEW at number two. And also, I think that strategy could backfire on them, because I think the more you're counter programming a rival, your fans might start thinking, why are they countering programming AEW so much? What's going on AEW? Maybe I need to check out an AEW event just to see what's going on. You know, you're in the car business. I mean,
unfortunately,
I'm not saying your dealership or a competing dealership of yours necessarily, but say you got two dealerships in a town and one's, you know, been cooking for a long time, has years and years established, but then this new dealership opens up around town. They, you know, are having a promotional event every now and then, or, you know, they have the balloons out there one day or something. And then everybody at that dealership, okay, what's going on over there? I'm loyal to this dealership still, but I gotta go check out what this dealership's got going on. See what I'm saying? Kind of like, I think it could backfire on WWE. Fans could go check out AEW, and then if AEW's putting on a good show, they might gain some of their audience, at least occasionally.
If I lose a customer over balloons,
I don't know. I
know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But how many years of us being wrestling fans was it that WWE wouldn't even recognize TNA, even though TNA was clearly the second program, but that's all we had. NWA was not back with Billy Corgan yet, even on YouTube. So literally the only thing on TV besides WWE was TNA, and they would not recognize it, would not give it the time of day. When they would lose a talent to there. They would never bring that talent up ever again. I mean, to how times have turned, right?
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden they're trying to make them the number two promotion in the United States of America.
Yep.
Yeah. But again, we have a different leadership in WWE. Correct. We have a different mindset. And obviously they're open to change. And when you have somebody open to change, and I'm guessing they're opening to making their pocketbook a little bit fatter. So,
yeah.
When you have Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, and Triple H standing on the ramp of Triple Mania in Mexico, talking about this is how we got here, and how we're gonna make this, it's pretty big deal. Pretty big deal.
Yep.
So.
Got a lot of good comments here I want to catch up on. Thank you, everybody, commenting so far. Please continue. It helps us out a lot. We enjoy it. Majin, AEW's on fire. WWE is not. Their product has still been shit. Stephen Chambers, if Naomi announces she's pregnant tomorrow night, Bayley and Asuka turning heel quick. With Majin saying Bayley was turning heel anyway. They're teasing her snapping. Stephen Chambers, my beef with WWE, I'm tired of the DQ finishes. At least you get a pinfall in AEW. Very good point. I'm tired of the main event DQ finishes in WWE myself as well. And they're so predictable too.
But Stephen, to your point there, with the problem they have in WWE right now, whether it's on Raw or SmackDown, they have a handful of talent that is striving for that main event slot.
Yep.
And when you don't have a clear direction and still have to put on a banger of a main event, that's an easy out. I'm not calling it lazy booking. It's an easy out. Lazy booking is having a fatal four-way or a fatal three-way at a PLE.
Which they're doing.
On a Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, it's completely different than a PLE.
That's true. Steven also said, be cool if TNA and AAA go to Peacock. I think they're going to keep AAA on YouTube. It's doing good numbers. So
I've been watching AAA on YouTube for years, even before they had American broadcasting. I would enjoy the product listening to the Spanish. And yep. I don't know. The only Spanish I know is por favor, you know, cerveza, por favor. Yeah. One more beer.
But please. They get so excited. I mean,
they do. And it's such an fast-paced wrestling. I've watched AAA for years on YouTube just because it's free. Yep. You know, when there's shit on TV on a Saturday night, and they're like, oh, hell, you know.
Yep.
AAA's got a two-hour YouTube show with no commercials. Yeah, man, there was no commercials last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal.
Majin, you also get blood and other shit we want in AEW, too. Good point. Don't get a lot of blood in WWE. For sure. Majin also says WWE wants to use TNA as a sacrificial lamb by having them go against AEW so that they can buy the company cheaper than expected when they fail. I think they can get TNA pretty cheap right now if they really wanted to.
Who owns TNA?
It is. That's. Oh, what's the guy's name? Let me bring it up here.
I mean, it's a corporate America that bought it that wouldn't let Scott D'Amore
buy it. Carlos Silver, correct. Anthem Sports Entertainment. But Carlos Silva is their president.
Okay.
And the rumor has it, the old owner of the UFC, before he sold to Dana, is interested in TNA. I forget the guy's name.
I couldn't tell you who owned the UFC. I know the UFC was bought by the Fertitta brothers and Dana White back in the day.
Well, let's see. Previous UFC owner. Man. Was it Lorenzo?
No, the Fertitta brothers.
No,
were the money behind Dana White.
Okay. So, No, it is him, though. Yes, Lorenzo right here in Yahoo Sports. Former UFC owner linked to purchase of WWE competitor. But little does Yahoo know that TNA's working with WWE. Yeah, Lorenzo Fertitta. Yep.
Well, he's got Vegas money. He owned the Palm. Okay. So he probably does okay.
Steven here's. Yeah, he got his money. So, Stephen Chambers, next Sunday, Forbidden Door, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, NXT Heatwave, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So they're not going head to head time wise. Majin wants to know what you're drinking, Shep.
Drinking the usual, little vodka soda. Took a day off. Got a little overheated on Friday at the LIV golf event.
Got overheated yesterday at the LIV golf event.
Yeah.
It was very hot yesterday.
I had probably, 12, 13, 14 toddies and only pissed once, if that tells you anything. It was hot. We were on the party hole number 11 up in the suite, and it was cool. I felt like I was at a nightclub where a golf tournament broke out. I wouldn't say not my cup of tea, but not what I think of when I think of high level competitive golf.
I enjoyed it, but I mean, I'm a golf fan, don't get me wrong, but I like more of the guys on LIV than I do the PGA Tour anymore. So, but there's elements of the LIV tournament I liked, elements I didn't like. So,
I think out of the top seven or eight guys, there's no other competition. I was shocked. I mean, yeah, Dustin Johnson led the whole way until today. John Rahm shot 11 under. Munoz shot 59 on Friday and came in hot today. But you take Munoz, Joaquin Nima, John Rahm. I don't even know if I put Dustin Johnson in elite company anymore. DeChambeau, Rahm. That Dean Brumster, he's won a couple times, which I don't know if he can compete on the PGA Tour. I just don't know if it's the high-level golf that you see what you saw today out of Scottie Scheffler. And I'm not a PGA dork and LIV hater, okay? I want DeChambeau on our Ryder Cup team. I'll tell you that right now. I want DeChambeau on the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, he is. They announced today he's on it. He automatically qualified.
He qualified. Somehow he's getting.
He was top 6 points. He was,
but he's not. But he's not playing any of the majors.
Just from the majors, he got points.
Yeah.
So,
that's a whole another debate.
I was gonna say I'm not gonna. I know our audience doesn't care, so I'm not gonna bore them with my thoughts.
They can give two shits about that. It was it was an hour and 15 minutes from my doorstep. Thought it was fun to go down. Check out a party hole. We drank and ate all day for free. Walked our ass off. My fat ass walked like 5 miles. Enough. That's enough. Never doing it again. So it was fun to see it. They're coming back next year. They have already announced. Don't know if I'm going. The rumor on the golf rumor board, again, this will be my last golf comment, is the LIV is going to come out with their own majors next year, 2 to 3 majors. And Indianapolis is rumored to be one of them. They were that good of a host. So shocked. Every time Indianapolis hosts a major event, everybody's like, holy shit, they do a good job. Whether it's the Super Bowl, LIV Golf, Royal Rumble. Obviously, they're coming back for a PLE already this year in September. I'm guessing that's going to be at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Obviously, Indianapolis knows what the hell they're doing. Besides the parking. The parking sucked at the LIV Golf event. So besides the parking, if they get that figured out, it'll be a good deal. So on to the next thing, Tanner. Let's quit boring our fans with golf shit that's boring to most.
Yes. I mean, I could talk about it for a lot longer, but we will not. We got a lot of wrestling to cover. A lot of congratulatory comments to Takeshita for winning the G1 Climax. Good call, Shep, about him main eventing the Tokyo Dome come January, because that's what he's going to be doing. Right call by New Japan. 100% right call.
Yeah, and did you see they took a lot of guff as soon as they announced him, as soon as he won. Everybody blamed Tony Khan because Tony Khan does not like evil.
Right.
And that's in Tony Khan said, I don't care for his work. That's why he's never been booked on Dynamite, Collision, ROH, et cetera, et cetera. And then a lot of them came out and said that Tony Khan has zero say in New Japan.
Yeah.
And I would be shocked a little bit if he had zero say. I would say they run stuff by him. It's his talent. It's his right. He's writing the paycheck. But to say he has influence on the decision, yeah, I agree with. So, yeah, awesome to see Takeshita win. Very, very young talent. Awesome talent. A ton of potential talent. And we will see him in early January at the Tokyo Dome main event, night one or night two.
That's one thing I didn't like about them moving Forbidden Door to August this year. It butts up right there with the G1 Climax. I would like it to be somewhere else during the year where it wasn't right there with the G1, because I think that affects a lot of things.
Yeah, because you got all these guys coming off the G1 that just went, what?
Yeah.
40 days, 32 shows?
Sounds right.
Sure. Am I right on that?
Close enough, if not, yeah.
Every one of those guys are banged up.
Yeah.
Every one of them are banged up. And then turn around and then have this Forbidden Door. And if you want to use some of those guys, you literally have less than 5 days to build something. So
Chief said Takeshita did great. Only flaw of the match was too much interference, but it's an evil match.
Yeah. I agree with him.
Yeah, but no, the Forbidden Door card shaping up to be pretty good, and we'll get to talking about that here momentarily. But first, we got some news items to go over around the world of AEW. And one of those, Shep, is an injury update on one of your favorites, Mr. Eddie Kingston. Eddie has been out 1 year and 3 months. His injuries include a fractured tibia, torn ACL, and torn meniscus. So his leg was pretty damaged. He was asked what he's been doing. He said, just more working out, physical therapy next week. So I'm trying now with my sessions. I have very few left. Just spread them out and then in ring for more cardio. I went in the ring. I went in there with somebody who pushed me really hard the other day. I'm not going to say who it is, but he was just in my face the whole time. He was like, hey, we're going to push you. Wanted to go at least 8 minutes. It was mostly grappling. I went about, I think they said 7, but I felt in my eternal clock of all these years of being in the ring, I felt like I went 6.5, maybe 6. And then I was like, okay. Talking about Forbidden Door, blah, blah, blah. He said, it looks like I'm not going to be able to do Forbidden Door again. And he was disappointed. My thing is, everybody else has their favorites, and my favorite has always been Forbidden Door. It's shit I like to do. That's the shit I like. For me, Forbidden Door will always be the big one. The Japanese dudes are my dudes. I wanted to fight Shingo, Shota, named a few others I'm not going to try to pronounce because I'll butcher them. There are so many missing it. As of right now, missing the 2 years in a row sucks. Hopefully this comes out and I'm wrong and I'm actually at Forbidden Door.
I can see him doing a run-in. Doing a run-in, or not necessarily a run-in, or making an appearance after a victory. You know, after somebody's made their victory, got their hand raised, and then all of a sudden his music hits, comes down and gets a little storyline action going.
Yeah, I got to think he's coming back soon. Gotta think. I mean, there's stories you could put him right in and not miss a beat.
Yeah.
Death Riders. Yeah.
Death Riders for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, after this week, Moxley's going to need something.
Well, we got his Forbidden Door match, but after that.
No, that's what I'm saying. After this.
You could do Darby and him one-on-one at All Out. I still think you got to.
You think you still get a one-on-one on those guys?
I think you almost have to. I mean, I think that's what everybody was expecting at Forbidden Door, and then this was kind of a swerve. At least it was a swerve, in my opinion, this week. The whole direction for the Death Riders and everybody else involved on the other side, I didn't see that coming.
I kind of did, actually. I don't know. I feel like after the body bag thing, we weren't just going to get a one-on-one. Like, okay. It was too easy.
Okay.
Too easy. Then especially with Ospreay returning, and yeah.
So yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that. I was going to save it for later after the news, but for anybody that might have missed Dynamite Wednesday night, they announced a Steel Cage Lights Out match for Forbidden Door involving John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli, the Death Riders. No Wheeler Yuta, those two. Then you got the Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, and Gabe Kidd, who took himself out of the G1 for being injured. So he must be healthy enough to do a Lights Out Steel Cage match. And then on the face side, you have a returning Will Ospreay with a effed up neck, which you got Tanahashi, who has no knees left in his career, making his last UK appearance. You have Kenny Omega, who, I mean, relatively, I think he's pretty healthy, but last time we saw him was at All in Texas losing to Okada. But, you know, he's got diverticulitis.
He has less intestines than you or I.
Yes, yes. And then you also have Darby. And am I missing anybody? Am I missing – is there one more? Oh, and Kota Ibushi, who has had all kinds of injuries. So it's pretty bad when Darby Allin's your healthiest person on your team.
Now, we haven't seen Ibushi in what, 13, 14 months?
No, he appeared on Collision a couple weeks ago and fought Okada. It was before the All Out or All In match.
Was it? Okay.
Yep, yep.
I'm not a big Collision guy, so.
Yep, and speaking of Ibushi, he made a big announcement on social media this week. He has re-signed a 2-year deal with AEW. So,
okay.
Yep. And we got some comments here. Chief Tanahashi with two replaced knees in steel cage. Hope he doesn't do anything dumb in the match. Majin, you know he's going to do a high fly flow off the cage. Are you talking about Darby? Are we talking about Will? Who are we talking about here? Because I can see both
gotta
of them.
Got to be Darby.
And Stephen Chambers said Ibushi wrestled Trent and Okada. Trent was the other one. That's right. That's right. I mean, I just hope everybody comes out of this match in one piece or as healthy as you can come out of a steel cage lights out match. And I mean, so this is going to be weird. So this is a honest 5-on-5 steel cage. I mean, we're not getting a double steel cage like a Blood and Guts, which I thought that's where Ospreay was going. I thought he was throwing out a challenge for Blood and Guts. And when he said lights out steel cage, I'm like, this is a little different.
That's going to be a packed ring.
Yeah. And so, in my opinion, Shep, since it's a lights out, does this main event? I think it does. Because technically, with how AEW does lights out matches, they'll turn out the lights, bring them back on, make the announcement that AEW is not responsible for anything that happens in this match. You know, in the past with the lights out match, they're always the last thing on the show, even though technically the main event would be before that Hangman and MJF for the world title.
Well, I think they're going to kick off this pay-per-view with Zack Sabre Jr. and McGuinness will be the number first match.
I could see that.
And then, yeah, I think you're going to have Hangman, MJF. Then you're going to have this lights out match.
Yeah. But I wonder, like, it seems like with the lights out match, I mean, I guess one team could just have their hands raised at the end, but I feel like something big at the end needs to happen. And maybe it is an Eddie Kingston return.
Eddie Kingston comes from underneath the ring and drags Moxley through the ring. Just like Kane.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Or he comes up through the ring and sets the ring on fire and then drags
there we
it
go.
The fire.
Now,
there
now go. We're talking. Takes now dragon talking. Straight to hell. As yeah, you, and you got to have JR on the call. Yeah, now we're talking. Macho brings up a good point. Blood and guts. This is the women's time. I'd be all right with that. I've been clamoring for a women's blood and guts match for a couple of years. So
you're getting close to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Steffi, we cannot have another exploding barbed wire death match. I'm going to start calling you Paul if you bring that up again.
Hey, that was mean.
I know. I'm sorry.
Actually, we can have another one. Let's just have another pyro company instead of the first one.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's actually do it right this time.
Yeah, but like, let's explore our options, TK.
They would have to do it at Daly's again or somewhere outside.
Oh, definitely at Daly's again.
Yeah.
And you could wire it up to where the crowd's far enough away where you could have it on each four corners of the ring, where the ramp goes up into the stage area where fans used to sit, but you can move them. Yeah, you could do it. You could do it there. Yep. It'd be smokier in hell after about the 30 seconds of exploding shit, but it'd work.
Chief says, has to be the main event, but honestly, wouldn't mind if it starts the show sets the tone for the rest of the night. That'd be tough to follow up, I think.
That'd be a real tough – real tough to follow up because I think there's going to be some high spots. Obviously there's going to be,
it's going to be wild. It's going to be insane. Yeah.
I mean, you got Darby in there for one.
Yeah. Which we haven't seen wrestle since he's come back.
No. And Gabe Kidd's just a nut job. Moxley.
Well, Ospreay's kind of a nut job in a way.
Yeah.
In a good way. But
I mean, I don't see Will Ospreay putting Spike through his back.
That's true.
But that's true. Yeah, it's all right.
Majin, they've been building towards it with how the Triangle of Madness, Megan Bang, and Penelope are doing. There's one team right there. Face team needs one person that I could feel could be Harley Cameron, and it's even. Yeah, she made her official return on Collision last night. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
And Majin, Steven, you know AEW doesn't do the climb out of the cage rule, so some will go out and brawl around ringside to keep it from getting too crowded. Very good point. Very good point. We got a NASCAR question for you, Shep, from Steffi. Who you have making it to the playoffs at Daytona?
That's a tough one, actually. A lot of the guys that your obvious guys are already kind of locked in. You know, I'm looking at guys without a win. I need to see where the cutoff's at. Hold on. Why don't you ask another question? I'm gonna look this up.
Okay.
I'm gonna see your cutoff here.
Chief said, you guys think TK would stretch out the show to counter-program NXT Heatwave? Well, he did it to counter-program Saturday night's main event when it was in Atlanta for Goldberg's last match. I'm assuming – I know Steven earlier said 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'm assuming that's when 0 hour starts, and then the main card is probably at 3. So giving historically how long AEW pay-per-views run, yeah. I could definitely see it going past the 7 o'clock start time. And hey, if WWE's got a counter program, play hardball, I think that's a good way for Tony Khan to play hardball. Sure. Steffi said, Shep, she had Austin Dillon, but he made it in last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Dillon, that was a big win for him. He's been on kind of a bad streak. It's just, he's just been okay. So that was a big win for him. Obviously, Richard Childress being his grandfather. Looking at the guys on the bubble, I don't see Kyle Busch getting in. He's 148 points out. I don't see Alex Bowman blowing a 60-point lead. But if one of these guys wins, being Chris Buescher, Ryan Pierce, Kyle Busch, Ty Gibbs, that would bump those guys out. So I think your playoffs are pretty much set, unless there's an upset coming in to the final race, which I believe is at Daytona. Is that right? Yeah. Daytona, August 23rd, the Coke Zero Sugar. Zero Sugar, you get that? Coke Zero Sugar 400.
So it's not the Pepsi 400 anymore?
No, it's the Coke Zero Sugar. Yeah,
Didn't they used to be run in July, around July 4th?
That was the Pepsi one, because you had all your Coke cars decorated. All your Coke drivers had Coke things. So you're going to be at 7:30 Saturday night. It'll be on NBC, Sirius XM, and HBO Max.
There you go.
Fucking streaming deals everywhere, Tanner. Doesn't matter what sport you're in.
Everywhere. Steven corrected me. Pay-per-view starts at 1:00, 11:30. So in that case, Chief, no, I don't think it's going to last clear till 7 then, to counter program Heat Wave. But Steven said, hey, TK could counter with a 2-hour media scrum. That's true. That's true.
Did you see where Triple H has discontinued the media scrum, basically the post-wrestling conferences?
Yes. And I think the reason he did it was with Lesnar's return. They didn't want to field questions about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was him, and I think there was other wrestlers that they were getting asked questions that weren't pertained to the storylines. So it'd be interesting to see if TK still does his, where he brings everybody in and basically gives them the floor. We know what Tony Storm always likes to say.
Sure.
So it'll be interesting to see if he continues to do that.
I think he will, because he did it before WWE started doing it. And now with WWE not doing it, I think the wrestling journalists, like the actual journalists, like Sean Ross Sapp, Denise Salcedo, John Alba, those of the world, I think they like going and asking actual questions. So if I'm TK, I keep doing it, especially since WWE's not doing it anymore.
Do you think Denise Salcedo and TK hang out?
I think he's friendly with all the media, but I would be surprised if he hangs out with any of them.
You didn't get the. Ever listen to her on Busted Open?
Yeah. I watched some of her programming on YouTube. She does a good job. She's very energetic.
Okay.
Very energetic.
You're being very, very kind. She's a lot.
But I think her energy comes from different source or substances than Tony's.
Okay. I just thought, is that fair? Very, very fair assumption.
Yes.
I was listening to her. Usually she's on Saturday mornings at Busted Open. And her and Mark Henry on there a lot. And you know Mark Henry, he's just kind of blah, 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 you know. And it's just like Denise is just like, whoa, that's a lot. But yeah, you talk about energetic, that is her.
Yeah. I think she does a good job though.
Hey, TK ain't hanging out with Mama Wayne. That's my job.
Maja asks, anyone see Vikingo getting booed at Triple Mania all because those fans love an abusive rapist? Couldn't be me. Yeah, I was shocked when they were chanting for Alberto and Ray said, I'll get them in. Trust me. I'm like, I wouldn't do that. If I'm WWE, I would have nothing to do with that dude. Not only is he a garbage human being, he's a garbage wrestler anymore. He has lost it. Like, I wouldn't.
Oh, he's got to be in his mid to late 40s now, doesn't he?
At least he might be in his 50s. I would not touch him with a 10-foot pole, but that's just me.
I was shocked. I watched start to finish. I started like 2 minutes into the battle royal at the start of the pay-per-view or PLE. And when Vikingo did his first backstage vignette and the crowd started booing, and Vikingo just kept it straight. He smiled. he basically said, "I'm here. I'm gonna represent AAA. I'm the guy." Like, you know, he did all the face shit, right? And they were still booing him backstage. And then when he made his entrance and they booed him, I'm like, holy cow. And I thought, well, maybe it's because of Dom. Maybe they just really wanted Dom. Well, Dom didn't get that big of cheers. He got cheered, but it wasn't like he didn't blow the roof off the joint. They really, really want this Albert. They call him Patron now, right?
Yeah, I think he goes by El Patron, whatever. I've never liked the dude. Even before all it came out of as just him being a scumbag human, I never cared for him. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yep.
Obviously, again, it's a different fan base than what we're seeing every week.
Sure.
Okay. They're diehard wrestling fans, which we can appreciate. We're diehard wrestling fans. But I guess it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So I can respect them. I don't have to necessarily agree with them, but I can respect them. They're passionate about something. We're passionate about wrestling. They're passionate about wrestling. Okay. But just, it took me off guard. I think it took a lot of people off guard, especially when I watched it live, I'm like, Vikingo, and we saw Vikingo very little in AEW. We loved him. We saw him in GCW before the AAA purchase or WWE purchase of AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I talked highly about that guy on this show.
Yeah.
And he got hurt, mm-hmm. kind of went away, and he came back, and then obviously the rest is history. But
mm-hmm.
Did not think he would get booed because of Alberto Patron or Alberto Del Rio or Patron El Negro, no lime, hold the salt shit. I was taken back by it.
Yeah,
great match by the way, and actually I sent you and Paul the link when. Actually, this is before that match. It was a great match. But part of the Triple Mania was when the music hit and this character comes out, and I'm like, holy shit, the Beast Martos is here? Wait a minute. This is AAA. Well, that was Taurus, which I remember watching Taurus in South Bend versus Vikingo in the main event of the South Bend Warrior Wrestling Days.
Yep.
And I don't he had a mask on, but it wasn't the bull mask like he had on. But the Beast Martos saw it. And the Beast Martos is pissed.
And he's a legit lawyer.
And he growled at him.
Yep.
So I think Taurus has a letter coming in the mail to him.
He's a legit lawyer and he dates the CEO. So
Beast Martos is a legit lawyer.
Yeah, he legit passed the bar earlier this year. Yeah.
And he's got the CEO money backing him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Taurus, you're fucked. You're fucked, Taurus. You might as well change your gimmick. You might as well change your name.
Yeah.
I mean, you might want to fly to fucking India and start wrestling there for all I care.
Yeah. He says CMLL can do something spectacular and bring some of the AAA fans over to the product. Doubt it will happen. Yes, Majin. Mercedes and Beast Morto's legit date from what I've seen on the internet.
That came out about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah. 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 So, yep. But, Shep, what are you thinking of this Forbidden Door card so far? I mean, we have 9 matches already with a week to go.
I just, first of all, it's going to come down to you and I because Paul can't count that high. Okay. So, I mean, he might get to his 9th match and only put 4 points on it because, you know, it's what it is. I think it's a good, strong pay-per-view card. I just don't know if you really want to call this son of a bitch Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
I know all of a sudden we threw Zack Sabre Jr. in there, right?
Yep.
We're going to have that. You got Gabe Kidd on the card.
You do have the women in the TBS title match.
You do have that. That's through four different companies, right?
Yep,
three different
companies. You got the lady from CMLL and the to be determined through Stardom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean you have some speckles, some sprinkles, some salt and pepper in there, if you know what I mean. But it's not like what we saw the first year where it was an AEW star, New Japan star, AEW star, New Japan star. So it's a little different, but I think the card is projected to maybe be one of the strongest cards they've ever had.
Yes. I think it's a combination of New Japan. A lot of their top talent's been poached, or they just haven't really established a lot of top talent. And AEW's got a lot of good stories going on right now, and so they're kind of taking care of their own first before branching out. Because, you know, in past, before Forbidden Door, we would have been seeing talent from New Japan sprinkled in Dynamite and Collision for the past month. And that hadn't been the case this year.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, you look at, we talked about it earlier, coming off the G1, you know, David Finlay, these guys are just banged up. Evil's banged up. David Finlay's banged up. All these guys that have participated. And so all of a sudden to give them a 5-6 day notice to come over here and, you know, appear on a Dynamite, which Dynamite's in Glasgow, Scotland, right?
Yep. Yep.
So for them to go to Scotland and appear and all of a sudden make a match real quick for Sunday just doesn't make sense. So maybe a little poor timing on TK's part, but he still put together a hell of a card, a strong card on paper. Hopefully, and we all hope it bangs.
Usually does.
And you're going to be what's the stadium there? Is it the O2?
O2. Yep.
They're having the O2, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, O2's hosted a shit ton of UFC events, WWE events. It can get loud in there. So hopefully the crowd brings it. They got a good fan
base over there.
Yeah. Hopefully it brings it.
Yep. I agree, Chief. If you're going to do Forbidden Door again, move it to early June again, at least before the G1. I agree.
Hey, And you're going to say this doesn't hold up to AEW standards, but what if we move this event to October to November to have this event? Because that would lead you a couple storylines going into Wrestle Kingdom and have some AEW talent on that two-night show.
Yeah.
Because of what had happened in October and November. I think that's a big deal. I mean, I know I sound like an absolute homer always talking about Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, yes, I'm one of the degenerates that wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and watches Wrestle Kingdom till his fat ass has to go to work. but I look forward to it every year and have seen some unbelievable matches because of it. So I'd love if you're going to have a partnership with AEW and New Japan, you know, with what's all going around in the professional wrestling world right now, you want to get the most bang for your buck. And I know we got Takeshita on the show, but you better have Ospreay coming back. Better have Moxley coming back. I'd love to see Swerve in the Tokyo Dome. Love to see FTR back in the Tokyo Dome. Hell, I'd love to see Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley in the Tokyo Dome. Come on. When those guys never had a chance for that.
True.
So let's make the most out of this partnership, right?
True. Yeah. And you can move that. I gotta speculate Forbidden Door is gonna be either in the States, maybe Mexico next year, because All In's going back to London. So you're not gonna have two UK pay-per-views of AEW next year.
Well, let's have Forbidden Door in Japan.
How would that time difference work? Well, I don't know if they do that because, it'd have to be early in the morning, wouldn't it?
I start Wrestle Kingdom usually at 4 a.m. and I miss the pre-show because I think the pre-show starts at 3. And the pre-show always has some hokey battle royal.
Yeah.
With guys like Cheeseburger and
yeah,
those guys. which is fun, entertaining, but I usually start at 4 a.m. And that's usually the start of the card. So that's got to be what, 6 or 7 o'clock their time?
Sure.
In the evening?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Majin asked me how ticket sales are going for All Out. I'm trying to look it up, and I was trying to see what Forbidden Door. I found Dynamite for this upcoming Wednesday, which is in the OVO Hydro in Glasgow. It has sold over 8,000 tickets as of 13 hours ago. It only has 879 tickets available.
Nice.
So it's almost a full house. That's going to be a big Dynamite, over 8,000.
That'll be a great Dynamite.
Let's see here. Wrestle Dream. I'm not finding anything for All Out or Forbidden Door back on August 15th. I might have said this. Oh, that was just 2 days ago. Ooh. Current setup 17,392. They've distributed 16,622. So only 770 tickets available as of Friday for Forbidden Door. So that's selling pretty good.
But you would think they're going to consider that a sellout.
Yeah, the venue, the average for Forbidden Door pay-per-views in the past, 13,225. So they're already above average.
So they're in the 16, so.
I'm trying to find All Out here, Majin. I'm not seeing anything on All Out's ticket sales yet. So, yeah, I'm scrolling back about 5 days ago now. Well, here we go. August 12th. The setup at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto is for 10,794. They've distributed, as of August 12th, 8,997. So there's 1,797 tickets remaining. Not bad. Not bad. Got till September 20th. So, yeah.
What was your standout moment of Dynamite this week? Because I have one.
Oh, my standout's what I labeled this week's show. Cope and Christian are reunited.
Great moment. Okay. Great moment.
But I do have a few bones to pick with it. But go ahead with your moment or your standout.
I thought the opening segment was good. Okay. But what stood out to me was the women on this match or this card.
Mm-hmm.
Six women tag.
Mm-hmm.
Which this girl from the UK that beat Mercedes, right? She beat her over in the UK, right?
Alex Windsor?
Windsor. Sorry. Yeah, didn't Windsor beat her once already?
Somebody help me in the comments. I'm not sure. I know Mercedes has the belt.
Maybe she beat Windsor. Maybe that was Windsor's belt she beat and brought Windsor over here. But I thought she has looked so good in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Queen Aminata looked good in this match.
She has for a long time.
She's such an athletic human being.
She's big.
But I thought I thought these six women did a hell of a job. And then obviously you get the Toni Storm Athena battle.
Oh, I think this feud. I thought the Mercedes Toni Storm match at All In was awesome, the match, but I'm enjoying the Athena Toni Storm buildup more.
And at the end, we get the promo of all promos to tape up her tits and let's tango, and we got Toni Storm and Alex Windsor versus Mercedes and Athena this week in Glasgow. And I am more excited for this match than any other match on the card leading into Forbidden Door. And it's because of, and Paul's here, Paul would hate me, but it's the work of Mercedes. And then the work of Toni. Athena's not that great on the mic, but she is so physical in her run-ins, in her ring. I'm excited to see her. Like it, it's overtaking this Dynamite. Like, that's all I'm looking forward to is Wednesday, is what's going to come out of that. So I think those women, even though we got the Christian and Cope thing we've been asking for months, and it blew up the internet, I'm sure. It blew up the tweeter, right? I think the women overshadowed him.
That's fair. I do want to get this comment before I talk about Cope and Christian. I popped for Hangman calling out MJF. Do you see the end of the movie? Seabus won, you idiot.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm excited for the MJF Hangman match because usually I'm not too excited when it's a new heavyweight champion's first pay-per-view defense, because more times than not, I'm like, they're not dropping the title, you know? But when MJF's evolved, you just never can say never because he's such a weasel.
How many times? All right. I'm going to set the over-under 1.5. How many times does Hangman kick out of the Dynamite diamond ring punch?
Yeah. At least one time.
Over-under is 1.5.
Yeah, well.
Does he do it a second time?
No, I'm taking one. I think 2 would be overkill.
You're taking the under.
Yeah, I'm taking under.
So you just told me who you thought's going to win.
I will tell you who I think's going to win. I don't care. But well, I won't, just, but I will, but I won't.
I feel like you just told me right there in your answer. I got you into that one, didn't I?
Yeah, well, you pulled a Hangman, you bastard. But I still wish they would have stretched this out to All Out. I still feel like it's, even though they had a match earlier this year, Revolution, and we've seen them featured in backstage vignettes and promos stuff against each other, I still feel like it's a little rushed. I feel like this wasn't MJF's plan. I feel like he was supposed to be with the Syndicate longer and they had a pivot.
Okay. And I feel like you have two of the pillars of AEW, sure, here, right?
Day one guys. Yep.
Day one guys. Young guys.
Yep.
You can stretch this story out. Not saying I want a hoaxy finish.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Not saying I want that. But with the current history of both superstars, you could have a hoaxy finish and not hurt either one of them.
Yeah.
And stretch this out. And boy, you know where I would like to see this finish. The fucking Tokyo Dome.
I knew you were gonna say it. I was just teeing it up.
We're look at that. We're 5 months out.
You do not finish a big AEW story at the Tokyo Dome on a New Japan pay-per-view. Absolutely
what,
not.
What bigger stage can there be?
Absolutely
besides,
not.
Besides fucking WrestleMania, what bigger stage can there be than a 70,000 sold-out stadium that is absolutely quiet during the match to let these guys do what they do best?
For AEW? Bigger stage is All In and Wembley. That's your bigger stage, yes.
It's not in the States. If you're going to go outside the States, there's no bigger stage than the fucking Tokyo Dome.
Nah, I disagree.
You think Wembley's got a better wrestling history than the Tokyo Dome?
I'm not saying that, but for the AEW product, that's where you would do it over the Tokyo Dome. They are not going to do a big AEW story to Tokyo Dome.
They've done it before.
What?
They've had Jericho over there. They've had FTR over there.
That was before. Yeah, but with an AEW storyline?
Absolutely.
No.
Tokyo Dome. Headline that shit.
Yes, Majin. Shep suggesting to Tokyo Dome, giving me my KOP bingo.
You're welcome, Majin. I expect my free bottle of fucking syrup in the mail tomorrow. Actually, I had maple syrup for breakfast this morning. It's the first time I had it in a while. It's really good.
It is good.
I'm not a big pancake guy, but we had pancakes this morning. I'm like, I gotta have some fucking maple
syrup. My wife had pancakes this morning. So
yeah.
But I'm not a big pancake guy, so I did not. But, yeah, I'm not. The Copa Christians.
You pancake eating motherfucker. One of the greatest movie lines of all time from Draft Day. Sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Kevin Costner.
Yep.
You pancake eating motherfucker. That's great. That's a great one.
The Copa Christian, good moment. Even though I like the Cincinnati crowd, I thought they were a little quiet for that moment.
Christian one, he
kind of walked away, didn't he?
He was a little standoffish on the hug.
But the weird thing was, did they come up with the graphic that's Copeland Christian versus Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian at Forbidden Door? I'm like I'm fine with it because Christian does need an end to the patriarchy. Like you gotta end that feud. But still, like I wanted to see their first match be in Toronto. All out against FTR because you know that's the direction we're going. Hell, I think that might main event that show in Toronto. I really do.
Yeah, but I think this is a way to get him away from the patriarchy.
No, I agree with you, but I wish there was a way they could have done that and held off with teaming these two for their first match until All Out. Like, I want a little more story. Like, I wish. Okay, let me back up a little bit. I'm fine. Like, since they're doing this match at Forbidden Door, I'm fine with it. But I wish it wasn't announced till next week. And like this upcoming Wednesday, we would see Cope and Christian like negotiating a little bit.
Well, like, you can still do this match and not necessarily put them two on the same page.
Okay. Okay.
You can still have him separate from the patriarchy here with a win. And still not have a tag team on the same page.
Okay.
You know, we've seen that many times before.
Yeah.
And then working up to Toronto, Cope brings him in.
Yeah.
Reels him home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can do that with the help of FTR by FTR attacking him, you know, attacking him one-on-one when they're separated, stuff like that. So you can still do that.
Okay.
And make that be a main event match because it's a big deal because technically this would be the first match that they are on the same page that it's edging Christian. Come on.
Yeah. I know.
I'm guessing the word edge is forbidden. I'm guessing it's copyrighted.
WWE owns it. Yep.
But you could have Christian come up and say, I'm going to take you to the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. You could. Yeah.
You know, or I'm going to bring the edge out of you.
Yeah. Have you lost your edge? Yeah.
Have you lost your edge? You can do it. You can do it with the way of words.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just brings a fire back into Cope. And here we go. So it's quick. Yes. Yeah. But I think it's needed. And as I saw the paperwork come across my nightstand, Mama Wayne is the POA of Nick, and she signed the match, so it is. It
all
is,
right, that all makes sense.
Sure. It all is for sure. She signed it. She's the POA. It is next to the nightstand, next to our. Never mind.
POA can stand for a few certain things too, if you catch my drift. I wish they weren't rushing it, but I feel like I kind of agree with you, Shep. I kind of feel like they had to though because. This, I think, was planned to happen a while back, and for whatever reason, they pushed it off. So,
well, you got to remember, and Cope got hurt.
Yep,
he got hurt. Yep. He was out for a while. So,
yep. This is the first time they've tagged together since 2011. First time on a pay-per-view since 2001 Invasion.
Wow.
Yeah,
and I saw a graphic the other day. The Hardys, the Dudleys, and Cope and Christian are all tagging again. Mm-hmm. First time since the original TLC.
Yep. Yep.
That's a big deal, which I don't know when the TNA one is with the Hardys and the Dudleys, but
it's coming up. It's Bound for Glory. I think it's
coming up in
October.
I haven't followed the TNA program and I've only listened to.
It's too hard to find.
I've only listened to Bubba a couple times, but I thought years ago D-Von was just done. Like
he had some medical problems, but he's got healthy enough he can do one more match.
So I hope it does well. Yep. I've always liked them guys, so you know, hope it does well for him. He was working backstage for WWE and TNA.
A little while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a little while, yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah. In the Hardys, like, I'm disappointed their run went how it did in AEW, even though, let's be honest, a lot of that was because of Jeff. If Jeff didn't get that DUI, they were going to be given the tag straps. So, but they're doing good work in TNA. I think they've been part of the reason for a little resurrection of TNA, if you will, a little bit because of the Hardys.
Yeah, no, I think they're leading the charge over at TNA. They're definitely the locker room warriors over there.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yep. But the Forbidden Door card, we went over the Lights Out Steel Cage match, the tag team match. We don't know who's facing the Hurt Syndicate yet. That'll be decided Wednesday. It'll either be Brodito or FTR, which should be a good match. We got Okada versus Swerve for the Unified Championship, which we saw Swerve do a promo with Renee, and Okada got him to spill that he's injured. Swerve's dealing with an injury, so Okada's obviously going to target that. Yeah, that should be a heck of a match. Tony Storm versus Athena, Mercedes defeating her TBS championship in a four-way match. TNT title, here's another crossover match. You got Kyle Fletcher defending against Hiromu Takahashi, who we saw on Dynamite Wednesday night.
Yep.
Zack Sabre Jr. versus Nigel McGuinness. I thought it was going to be Nigel. You thought it was going to be Daniel Garcia. And then we got Hangman, MJF, Cope, and Christian versus Sabian and Nick Wayne. So far, looking like a very strong card.
Yeah, the only thing is looking into that, I don't want to devalue the IWGP championship with Zack Sabre Jr. all of a sudden have to face a guy that wrestles once a year. And nothing against Nigel McGuinness. The dude's a legend, right?
Yes.
You know, before he got hurt, the guy was a legend. And I love that he's able to come back, right?
Yep.
But if you have this prestigious title, and it's one of the oldest titles in the world, and you bring it to the show, I just feel like there should be a little bit more build. You know what I mean? And I know AEW loves to cram their stories in and do it. And we end up having a great match. And we sit here the next Sunday and just talk about, holy shit, did you see that? That was great. Yeah. But just like, this is the IWGP fucking title. Zack Sabre Jr. has been we've been watching him for 10 years work his way to hold this belt.
Mm-hmm.
All the belts he's held beforehand, all the shit he's had to go through, and he has truly earned it. And he's a truly earned champion. And not to say that Nigel McGuinness isn't, but he was 15 years ago.
Yeah, Nigel, spoiler alert for my pick, Nigel ain't winning this match. No way.
No. But I feel like if you're going to have a Forbidden Door, you would want this IWGP to be a little bit more represented well, right? Not saying that Zach's not going to do a good job and not going to work well with Nigel and not going to put on a good match, but you're sticking your neck out on the line if you're this other company coming into AEW, right? I know they're partners and they work well together, and you got Rocky Romero that makes all the mess shit go together and yada, yada, yada. But I just want a little bit more for it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm a New Japan fan, right? I love the shit, right? I love AEW, but I want both of them to get their fucking flowers at the end of the day.
They should. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll probably see a little more build Wednesday, but it's the week of. I mean, that's a little late, but. Modern says, mark my words, Brodito will win that tournament. CNC Factory will come out, and they're going to make FTR sweat.
CNC okay. Factory. He gave his own name, didn't he?
He's Canadian. He likes these two.
I like that shit. That's funny.
What do you think?
What was that band back in the day? Wasn't there a band something Factory? Come on. Mid to late 90s. I know it's early for you.
It was early for me.
Wasn't this? Fuck, I'm about to Google it. I'm going to Google.
Two more news items I want to talk about before we wrap tonight's pod up. We got a vignette on Dynamite teasing a return of an AEW.
Sorry, it was a C plus C Music Factory. It was a musical group from they formed in 1989.
Imagine had it right here. He said one of their biggest songs was called Sweat. See, so yes, I didn't pick it up. You should have. Yes. You should have. He was playing right there.
I knew it sounded familiar.
So, because he said, we'll make FTR sweat. He played. Oh, good job, Majin. That went over my head. I was too young, but Chef should have known that. He's old.
It caught my eye. I mean, in 1989, when they formed, I was seven, okay?
I thought he said 1999. I'm like, I was seven in 99.
No, 89 they formed. Okay. I was seven when they formed.
I was 3 years from coming to this earth.
But. CNC Music Group. I remember them now. I caught on.
All right.
Jesus, give me a little. Imagine, how old are you? 59? Fucker.
He's 69.
You can't say with a straight face.
You laughed. What? Got you to pop.
You ever looked at my used cars prices online? They all ended in 69, by the way.
What a strategy.
Yes.
That's what sets you apart from your competition.
That's right. I mean, you look at my used cars and you laugh. I'm going to call
only you can do some advertisements. About,
yes. But, hey, all my advertisement is, all I ask you to do is read my used car pricing out loud. Yeah, and if you smile, give me a call.
It's $1 million right there. $1 million right there. Majin is 35.
Oh, you fuck off. You are not 35. How the hell does he know that and you don't, Tanner?
He's more untapped, I feel like, in music than I am. His music IQ is way higher than mine. So,
well,
Steffi says she's going to be 40.
Welcome to the dark side, Steffi.
But like I was saying before we went down that rabbit hole, we got a vignette for a talent returning to AEW. Hook. Hook's finally going to be returning.
If you mean the vignette was the building with the light in the air with the Batman
with the H,
I'm like, okay, that's a vignette. And then I think it was.
I'll be honest.
Was it you or Paul that sent the group message right after that happens? Like, oh, Hook resigned with the company. I'm like, well, no shit. We just saw the H. Yeah. I was like, no shit. We just saw the H on TV.
Well, his contract's like, was supposed to run out a while back, and there was no news. And then right after that, Fightful said that late in 2024, Hook resigned for multi-years. Of course, he's been on the shelf for months now. So it'll be interesting what they do, because last time we saw him, he gave Joe a no head shake and left that forbidden door. Or no, geez, Double or Nothing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
There was a little bit of me that wanted him to try his hand in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I know he would have to work his way through NXT before they put him on the main roster, but could you imagine a Dirty Dom versus Hook match?
That'd be interesting.
I mean, talk about two legends kids. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
heritage legacies,
but two legend kids that we know can work in the ring. Maybe Dom's a little more polished than Hook, but oh man, that'd be good.
Yeah,
that'd be real good. And maybe we might still get that. These kids are in their 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
They're freaking kids.
We're gonna see a lot of movement between companies over the next couple of years. So, AEW also signed a new talent, made his AEW debut last night on Collision against Ricochet, former TNA World Tag Team Champion Ace Austin signed a multi-year deal with AEW.
I saw Ace Austin and Ricochet had a banger of a match. Yep. Ricochet thought he was Stone Cold Steve Austin there for a minute. I do not like that guy. Have I made that very clear in this?
You don't like the Gates of Agony, so I thought it was only a matter of time.
And not that Ricochet is not a bad performer, okay? His performance in the ring is amazing. His athleticism is amazing. He's good on the mic. I just can't stand that fucking hyena laugh that he does before he leaves.
So I could say he's doing his job as a heel. Something he was not in WWE.
No, they made him a face. They wouldn't let him be a heel in WWE. Mm-hmm. But I guess if annoying prick comes to mind, then yeah, he's a heel. Annoying prick.
Majin said you're just jealous that he gets hoes. Something Stoke can't do.
He gets hoes. He's married to JoJo, right? Or not JoJo. Oh, that was
Bray's wife.
That was Bray's wife. He's married to the ring announcer.
Yeah. Beautiful. I'm blanking on her name right now. Yeah,
she retired.
Just this year.
Yeah, they got married. Yep. I don't know. Think about it. I gotta make a drink. You're got me all flustered.
That's what I do. Samantha Irvin. Thank you, Majin. Yep. And Majin, why he's making a drink. Yes, you asked. You think we could see Killer Cross move? I refuse to call him by his WWE slave name. Yeah, it still wouldn't shock me if he ultimately pops back up in the WWE and resigns, or signs a new contract. But yeah, I think I read where he's out there for bookings, but he's priced himself pretty darn high to where some bookers and promotions think that this is all a work. But from his interview with Ariel Helwani, I don't think it's a work. I think it's legit. I think a lot of it has to do with the WWE not wanting, or at least not being too interested in bringing Scarlett back until they got Cross's stuff done. I think he'd be a good fit in New Japan. I don't know if he'd do that because of New Japan's relationship with AEW and he and Scarlett's past with Don Callis, but I think Killer Cross would be perfect in New Japan.
You don't think all this is a work and he'll be back?
I don't think it's a work, but I said I won't be surprised if he's back. But I don't think it's a work. I think from his interview with Helwani, I think it's legit. I think the big thing was them not being too interested in Scarlett.
The only thing that stood out from that interview was saying, hey, let's get you signed. Once we get you signed, we'll worry about her later.
Yes.
And that, to me, was a red flag if that's true.
Yeah.
Meaning they could care less if you needed a valet or not.
Right.
Obviously, that being his wife, he's going to protect her.
Right.
And do what's best. At first, with all the reports, like I felt like this was R-Truth all over again.
Right. Which was, but I will say the R-Truth thing, the only reason they brought him back was to shut the fans up, I think. Yeah. And they haven't done anything with him since.
No. But stupid. I don't know if you said this or not, but I think, and it was on Jimmy Van or Fightful, it might have been Jimmy Van's individual account. He said, sources said that they're asking a stupid amount of money.
Yes.
So they're not necessarily getting booked right away.
Right.
And his conspiracy theory, and he even said it, like I'm putting my asterisks around that. If you ask a stupid amount of money, knowing that you're not going to get booked, but you're still putting it out there that, hey, here's my email, book me, blah, 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 just makes it even a bigger work.
All right.
I don't know where you would bring him. If this is a big work, though, I don't know when and where you would bring him back to be more effective to make that big pop, that big, yep. I got us, yep. You know? So.
Well, and really, Cody and even before Cody, Drew McIntyre set the landscape of how you can leave WWE. If your ultimate goal is to go back, how you can leave WWE, become a bigger thing on your own to where they want you to bring you back to actually use you the correct way. So the landscape's been set. Blueprints out there.
A lot of I've seen is in December, they think the final opponent for John Cena should be help me out. We just talked
I've about seen him. I've seen Gunther, so
no, not Gunther.
That's what I've seen.
The other one. Why can't I say it? I just literally said his name. Help me out.
Who? Madonna?
No, Celtic Warrior.
Killer Cross?
No, Sheamus? No, not Sheamus, God damn it.
You said Celtic Warrior.
I did say Celtic Warrior.
Who?
The guy that won the championship during COVID.
No, Drew McIntyre.
Yes, Drew McIntyre.
She's Scottish. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I got confused there. But I've heard a lot of that saying you bring him in for that final match in December and you have Karrion Kross come in and make sure that, you know, Cena wins his final match. He rides off in the sunset, but you start an amazing feud between McIntyre and Kross. I've seen that a lot. But
so you sorry,
I insulted Steffi. I couldn't think of his name. We literally just talked about Drew McIntyre like 30 seconds before, and I couldn't spit his name out. I said Celtic Warrior, and I'm like, oh,
yeah, I'm like, that's Sheamus.
That's Sheamus. Shit. Oh, well.
I'm pretty sure Sheamus will not be John's last opponent, even though they have history.
They do have history. I remember when Sheamus debuted, he beat the living shit out of John.
He did. He took the title off him at like TLC 2010, I think. Yeah. Mom said they say the first thing to go when you age is your short term memory.
That's better than my dick, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man.
You know, that's okay. I don't, I'm not having any more kids. No more kids. I'm not Heath Slater, so.
And I won't be, I don't even, no, I'm not even going to say that. Never mind.
Be careful there, Tanner.
Yep. I don't want to get canceled. I'm not saying that.
Be careful there.
Ship, anything else you want to talk about tonight around the world of AEW? I feel like we covered quite a bit.
I'm excited about this coming week. I'm actually excited about this pay-per-view this Dynamite in Scotland, in Glasgow.
Yep.
I think we'll see a lot of appearances, not necessarily wrestling, but we'll see a lot of appearances by everybody coming in the Forbidden Door. I think we'll see a lot of good vignettes, backstage segments, some mic work. So I think it'll be a really good show leading up, not necessarily a wrestling show, but, yeah, we'll see a lot of good stuff going into Forbidden Door, and I'm pretty pumped about Forbidden Door. I think it's a killer card. I know it's not an all in, all out situation, but it's pretty freaking stacked.
And year to year, it's one of their higher buy rates for their pay per views. So
it is, and I think you get some stragglers of
sure.
And I'm sure, look, we're all professional wrestling fans, but I'm sure there's some people in the United States of America that just literally pay the, I think it's $10.99 a month, and they watch New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. For $11 a month, they watch New Japan. Now, do they watch their free shit on TBS and watch AEW? Yeah. Do they watch their free shit on USA because they're already paying for it? Yeah, they don't have Netflix to watch Raw. They don't have this. They don't have that. They literally pay $11 a month to watch the wrestling. 100% respect that and agree with it. So when they have Forbidden Door come in, they're like, "Well, shit, my guys are on this show. All right, I'll pay the $49.95. It's the one pay per view a month I got to pay for, or I'm sorry, one pay per view a year I got to pay for because I'm a New Japan World member." So I think you get some stragglers, right? You get some people that will do it because of that. So then being in Europe, I think you have some people that be like, shit, I can't, you know, hey, I'm not going to buy a ticket. Mm. I love wrestling and it's right down the road, but I can't buy a ticket. But, hey, I can pay the $49.95 and sit at home and drink some Guinness and eat some fish and chips with malt vinegar and watch it. Right,
God, I might have to do that on Sunday. That sounds like a good plan.
Some bangers and mash. I don't know.
Yeah.
I fish and chips is with malt vinegar. Fish and chips with malt vinegar is a fucking all time classic.
Yeah.
Tartar sauce is for pussies.
I don't like tartar sauce.
Well, if you have some good homemade tartar sauce, it's different than that store bought shit. But
fair.
Malt vinegar. Yeah. Vinegar is the legend. Anyways, now we're getting on a food.
Yep.
Topic, but I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think we're going to have an amazing weekend of wrestling. Amazing week of wrestling leading into this weekend. I'm excited. Sounds like Friday night we're going to do our prediction show.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah, I think Friday night. That's where
Saturday. Saturday. I'll give you my little rundown here on Saturday, and then you I got the basketball outing.
I did too.
Saturday morning. Yeah. Then I have a 7-year-old birthday party from 2 to 4.
I'm jealous. Not really. Sorry.
Well, I mean, if you pregame with me on Saturday, you'd have fun at the birthday party too. Like I will. It is at a bar.
Well, that, all right.
That sounds crazy, but yeah, there is a bar there. And then I have a work team dinner at the local casino up in South Bend at 5 or 6 o'clock. So
Friday
to get me home by 9 o'clock to do this prediction show, I might look like JPJ at the last prediction show if I show up at that.
Oh, that was classic.
That was classic. That was classic. I mean, but yeah, I think we should shoot for Friday night.
Yep.
Friday night, maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock. Yep. We'll hop on maybe right during the middle of collision. Maybe do a little watch along action.
I don't think there is a collision this week.
There isn't a collision.
Of course I don't not. Think so.
There isn't. I mean, so. I predict. I just said let's do a watch along.
So yeah, I don't think there is one, but
that just shows you how big of a collision fan. You know, back in the day, it's funny. Back in the day, I loved collision because it was FTR and fucking Punk.
It still is FTR.
Well. I miss Punk. Anyways.
You can watch them on Mondays.
It's all good.
Yep.
Excited for the week. Again, excited for the week of wrestling. Can't wait to absolutely fucking dominate Paul at this pick again.
Yep.
I mean,
if he shows up.
Guys, give me an over-under. So there's 9 matches, right?
So far.
Yeah. So far. So how many point total would that be, Tanner? Come on. You're quick math.
No, I suck at math.
Ah, do you gonna make me add it up real quick?
I suck at math. Yes, but
while
you add that up, you can stay up to date with the latest going on with the Kicking Out Podcast by following us on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can see an archive of all of our pods, and you can listen on your favorite audio podcast platform, which is if that's Apple Pod. Or Spotify, please give us that 5-star rating and review. Go ahead, Shep. Numbers.
45 right
45
now.
45 available points.
We have 9 points. Here's the deal. Guys, we're gonna do a contest. Shep's going to pay for it, okay? Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Everybody that's listening, and Tanner, you put this out on social media.
Okay.
By next Friday morning, you leave us a comment on Instagram or Twitter. You give me Paul's total. Okay? Out of 45 points, you guys give me Paul's total. The closest person to Paul's total will get an AEW t-shirt sent to you from Chef.
We'll send you a Kicking Out Podcast t-shirt.
I'm sorry, Podcast t-shirt. Yes. I was looking at your hat.
That's all right.
We'll send you a Kicking Out Podcast t-shirt from Chef. Whoever's closest to Paul's total.
Love it. Love it. So look and put the comments. You can put the comments right here on YouTube or tomorrow when the graphic goes out about the episode. You can put it on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Instagram or Facebook. So I'll be looking at all those. Put your put the total you think Paul's going to get. So
And if we got a 10th match on Wednesday, just wait. And put it after Wednesday, but
by Friday morning.
I think we should do a little hashtag though, right?
Yeah. Hashtag.
Hashtag Paul's picks or hashtag Paul's points. Let's be nice.
Paul's picks. We'll go with hashtag. Right. Put hashtag Paul's picks.
Hashtag Paul's picks.
And we're not going to tell him about this either. And he's going to be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. We're not saying a word to him about
it. Nope.
But Shep will send you a KOP t-shirt. And if you want, I'll autograph it, which means absolutely.
Well, that takes the value down of
Love
it.
I sign it right over the belly button.
See, right there. I put it in the comments. Hashtag Paul's picks.
Hashtag Paul's picks. All right. Let's play a little contest. Hashtag Paul's picks. Somebody get close out of the 45. We'll see if he gets close.
Yeah, Maji, you already got a shirt. You're still eligible. That means you get to pick another one. Different design.
Tell you what, Maji, you win. You pick your own design, and Shep will send it to you.
Yep. Well, really, we should have the winner pick their own design, either from Pro Wrestling Tees or KickingOutShop.com. So
there you go.
There we go. All right. And you can follow me if you want on Instagram and Twitter at TannerLee92. You can follow Shep at TheShep27. And you can follow Paul at PaulZartman87. For Austin Shepherd, I'm Tanner Lee. Join us Friday as we kick out yet another podcast with our Forbidden Door Prediction Show. Have a great week, everybody.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.